Well, good morning. We're glad that you are with us. Thanks for joining us. We are concluding our series in the message series, Mind Matters. Hey, I just want to let you know, you might want to grab that extra cup of coffee. If you're sitting around having a waffle, you might want to grab another one while you're having brunch with your mom. That's a great thing to do. And we're going to just dive in here. What do we know that we've learned the last few weeks? Change your thinking, you can change your life. Life's battles are most often won or lost in our minds. We've learned this over the last few weeks. It is almost impossible to live a positive life when you're consumed with negative thoughts. How about this one? Our lives reflect the thoughts we think, right? I mean, come on. Today, I want to end our four-part message series with God's word from Philippians chapter 4. We've been looking at the Apostle Paul, this powerful man of God who was a prisoner in Rome when he had wanted to become a preacher in Rome. And from a Roman prison, he wrote a very meaningful, encouraging, joy-filled letter to believers in Philippi. And this is how he was ending his letter. Listen to this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. Can everybody say every situation? Thanks. Good. Go ahead, say it out loud, because that's where it gets stuck. It gets stuck in the mind. It gets stuck in the heart. Every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received from me, this is a powerful word, by the way, speaking right into our hearts, right where we're at, how we follow Jesus. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the peace of And the God of peace will be with you. Right there where you're seated, you might be sitting next to your mom or someone else, just give them a high five. Just go ahead, give them a high five and say, the God of peace be with you. The God of peace be with you, because I'm sure we all need a bigger piece of the pie from God, right? I mean, come on, we all need it these days. I know, that was bad. I get it. Some of you are like, God, Steve, stop. But it is true. We want more of the peace that God can give us through his Spirit, right? I mean, we want more of this peace. So let's just pray into this. Can we do this? Father, we do need and want more of you to emerge from within us. This is why we keep coming back to the truth. To ingest more of you and more of your Spirit's working out the likeness of yourself in and through us. So, Father, we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. How many of you would say you have runaway thoughts lately? Just runaway thoughts. A little bit of worry? A smidgen of fear? How about a handful of anxiety? What level is it for you? What has been running through your minds? Some of you may be thinking along these lines. Some of you are worried about your grades, because if you don't get good grades, then you won't be good enough in college. Then you won't have a degree, and then nobody will want to marry you. Then you can't have kids, and that'll drive you crazy. Because then when you do have the kids that you have finally and eventually, you're going to have to send them to school, and you're worried because you're going to send them to where there's sex, drugs, and rock and roll and all of these things and guns and whatever violence is there, and then they're going to drive cars. And then you're going to start to worry about driving cars. I mean, these are all the things you want, but then you start to worry about all these things. Then you have this big headache, and all of a sudden you're probably wondering whether you've got this brain tumor because you have this headache all of a sudden, and life's spinning out of control all because you haven't studied for the upcoming exam, right? I mean, we start in this flurry of one thought, and it just follows a bunch of other thoughts in our minds, and it just can be this runaway train. I don't know how many of you have traveled through different regions of our country where there are steep declines and inclines. They have those runaway places where you can bury your car if you need to, right? Some of us need to pull off and bury our car so we can reset our minds maybe. So let's just talk about worry and the mind. If you've been with us in previous weeks, we've talked about our key thought, and that is this: our lives are always moving in the path of our most tenacious thoughts. Now, this is really good news. It's good news if you're thinking on things that are true and noble and pure and admirable, if you're thinking on God's truth. But the problem is, we don't often focus on God's truth. We focus on what is fear-inducing or what causes anxious thoughts, and our minds tend to run in a direction that may not be pleasing to God or even helpful in the long run for us. Why is it that our minds are often compound itself with fear, or on fear, if you will? We get a double interest on it. Maybe you didn't know this, and maybe some of you did. In our brains, there's a little shaped portion of our mind, or actually our brain, that is known as the amygdala. Can you say amygdala? Yeah. Whenever you're afraid, the amygdala is in full gear. It goes into this idea of survival mode. It's wired to make us afraid so that when we run away from things that can be hurtful or dangerous to us. It's part of the brain that is responsible for fear. So if you ever find yourself in a dangerous situation, that is the portion of your brain that kicks into gear. It's called the amygdala. And it sends these strong doses of adrenaline through your body. For example, if you've ever seen a poisonous snake, your amygdala says, danger, run for your life. Now, my mom, she would, even if a dangerous snake was behind glass, her amygdala kicks in, right, Mom? It kicks in and she runs the other way. If you're in bed and you hear a loud noise, your amygdala either says to you, hide under your bed or grab whatever is closest to you, the lamp, whatever, you fill in the blank, and you become this defender for your home. And the amygdala is the responsible part of is responsible for your survival, and it causes this fear that moves into your body and your mind. The problem is this, and you probably maybe have figured this out: the amygdala is just not objective enough. It's got one role and one function. It is to protect you and to protect those things around you that you have said, I need to protect. Your brain and the amygdala is hardwired to protect, right? It needs a little bit of help from our prefrontal cortex. Okay, we're getting a little scientific here, but it needs some help. And this is the logical part of your brain. This is the part of the brain that speaks up whenever the amygdala goes out of control. For example, in the middle of the night, you hear a noise and your amygdala says, you're going to die, right? This is going through your head. And your prefrontal cortex says this: no, that's probably the cat. Then your next thought from the prefrontal cortex is determining what to do with the cat. Now, I'm not telling you what to do with your cat, but you know what I'm saying, you know? A lot of things come from cats, a lot of problems. Just, all right, you get the point. This is why God gave us the logical part of our brain, to work with the amygdala. And that's pre-wired for just survival. Without the prefrontal cortex, the amygdala responds according to its programming. It's supposed to do what it does. Because the way you have lived, because the way I have lived, our brains are now pre-programmed to respond to the triggers that take you in an unhealthy zone of worry, fear, and anxiety. You see something, you experience something, and it triggers a response that leads to an unhealthy thinking. It just goes out of control. Scripture does not say, let your hearts be troubled. Now think about this. What Jesus did tell us was this: do not let your hearts be troubled. The angels who appeared before the coming of Jesus did not say, glory to God in the highest, stress, anxiety on earth. No, the angels said this, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. Paul did not say, be anxious about everything. But while under house arrest, wanting to be anywhere else than there, Paul said this, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Paul tells us, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer, present our request to God. And this supernatural peace from heaven will guard our hearts and minds. Man, we need that supernatural peace these days. Right? Prayer is powerful, he's telling us. Right? Did you catch it? How we experience the peace of God and the peace from God? We experience it through the practice of prayer. Talking, listening, and simply, can I just say, being with God. Sometimes there are times we just sit in his presence. It's really a prayerless type of praying, if you will, or a wordless type of praying, if you will. The problem is, so many of us, prayer becomes the last resort, right? I mean, come on. Well, now I guess it's time to pray, we say. But prayer is always and should always be our first line offense. You can pray to God. You can go boldly before him, and listen to me, the throne of grace is there to help you in your time of need. Can I just tell you what just happened before we went online? Everything went offline. Everything here. I mean, well, not everything. Our screens went off. There was some disturbance here. And guess what we did? Guess what we did? While others were working, some of us were praying. And guess what happened? Everything is back up and running. The evil one does not want us to win, but we have a power, a supernatural power that we go to. When we go to the King of Kings, our Heavenly Father, he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. And that's the great news, that praying helps us not only to answer our prayers, but it renews our minds. So let's just get back into the science a little bit. I didn't think God and science goes together. The Bible and science didn't go together. Well, it does. There's a crazy thing. There's a science behind prayer and the brain that our God created. Neurologists used to believe that the brain didn't change until after adolescence. Excuse me. What is true is our brain consistently is changing. It's consistently rewiring itself or evolving to think thoughts. As we experience new experiences, our brain is rewiring itself through a process known as neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity, right? I mean, so we just acknowledged that in this situation just a few moments ago, things weren't working. We prayed, things are working. We acknowledge that God works on our behalf. We rewire our brain. There's another term known as neurotheology. Can you believe this? I mean, neurotheology. Theology is just the study of God. Or in this case, it's known as spiritual neuroscience. What is this? It's the relationship between the brain and the belief in God. This study, this is the study of behind what happens to the brain when we pray and through prayer. Let me give you a spoiler. Prayer changes your brain. It just changes your brain. It changes our brains. Dr. Carolyn Leaf, in her book called Switch On Your Brain, who is a believer, says this, it has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it could be measured on a brain scan. Prayer does not just touch the heart of God, which it does. It moves the heart of God, but it also changes us. So can you imagine, just as toxic to us are the negative thoughts that hurt our brain, that pre-program us for unhealthy thinking, therefore unhealthy living with all the worry, the fear, the anxiety. Prayer, on the other hand, heals the brain. It heals the brain. It renews it. This is why in Romans 12, Paul calls us to be not conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because God renews our mind. He renews it through prayer. So why do we worry? Why do we get so freaked out? Why do we stay awake in the middle of the night? Why are we anxious? Why do we get so much on edge? Why are we so uptight all the time, Steve? There's a lot of different reasons, but one of the reasons is we're experiencing what is called the amygdala hijack. The amygdala takes over and says, panic, survive, save yourself, prepare yourself for the worst case scenario. It's bad, it's going to be worse. It's too late to pray, survive, forget. I mean, all of these phrases or some kind of phrases goes through your mind, right? And Paul would tell you from a theological position this, that your mind is being dominated by sinful thinking. By sinful thinking. So what is worry? Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. I mean, think about it. Worry is just that abandonment from God. It's being an atheist in the moment, if you will. The amygdala hijack, it's letting your mind be dominated by sinful thinking. This is what is said in Romans chapter 8. This is why I said what I just said. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Life and peace, that's what we want, right? So we take every thought captive. If there's ever a thought that's inconsistent with God's word, we take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. We demolish every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take those thoughts captive because we will not be dominated by sinful thoughts that are displeasing to God, that take us out of God's will, that take us out of God's way, that place us in darkness, right? The unknown. Instead, we let the Spirit of God, we let the Spirit of God to move us. We choose to follow God's truth and listen to His Spirit and His gentle nudge. And the Spirit will always lead us out of anxiety. It will always lead us out of fear. It will always lead us out of stress and panic and lead us to life and peace. The Spirit of God controls our thoughts. So how do we do this? How do we control these thoughts? How can we add to our toolbox of ideas? Well, we have to tell our prefrontal cortex to grab the amygdala by the tail. We just have to do that. Give your burdens to God. We have to simply do that. If you have a box full of worries today, give them to God. Walk in faith. Give them to Him. And many times we do just that. We give them to God. But this is the crazy thing. We find ourselves taking them back, right? After we've given them to God. We find ourselves in this rhythm all the time. Can I just encourage you? Find a shoebox in your home. Put on it God's box. Put the name God's box on it. And every time you have a worry, pray about it, write it down, and put it into the God box. Just put it into the God box. And then every time that worry comes to your mind again, go back to the God box, remind yourself where you put it, and tell yourself and to tell God where it is. So your mind may be worrying about your 17-year-old son or daughter. You might be worried about the bills that may be coming. You may be worried, when is this coronavirus going to be over? You might have a fear of the future, whether you have a job. I mean, whatever it may be, we need to write it down and symbolically place it into the God box and say, God, I am trusting you with this situation, with this person, with this relationship. It's yours. And then when we get woken up in the middle of the night, what we do is we go back to that box and we say, oh, God's got this. He's got this situation, and I have given it to Him. Now, don't think for a moment that I'm considering wiping out our responsibility, because we do need to do what we can do. There's a progression to living responsibly, even inside the kingdom. While supernaturally we're being infused with power, supernaturally we're being changed on a regular basis, we still need to do what we can do. So if I've got a health issue, what am I going to do? I'm going to eat right. I'm going to exercise. I'm going to go to the doctors. I'm going to do the things that are right to do. I'm not going to abandon those things. If I have a test, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to study for the test. I'm going to spend time. I'm going to plan. I'm going to put it into my time, into my plan. I have a financial issue. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to do what I can do. And that means that I'm going to plan for that issue. I'm going to put it in my budget. I'm going to get some good advice. And I'm going to spend less than I make. I mean, all of these things need to capture us. We do what we can do. The things we can't do, we give to God. We give to God what we can't do. Because there is a lot that we can't do, but we can give it to God. We can pray it to God. And guess what the last thing we're going to do? We're going to trust no matter what. We are going to choose to trust no matter what. Whatever those worries are, whatever those fears are, whatever those stresses, whatever those runaway thoughts are, we're going to trust God no matter what, because he is trustworthy. What I want you to know is it is possible. What I want you to know is that it is possible, and it's also a choice to do this, to give your mind peace, to join with God in this direction. Remember, our lives are always moving in the path of our most tenacious thoughts. They always are. So where are your thoughts taking you today? When I looked at my thoughts a while back, I could tell you that they were not taking me in the place I wanted to be. Life was hard. It was difficult. I couldn't get it all done. My to-do list was bigger than my go list, if you will, inside of me, or my go inside of me. So what do we do? I just want to remind you. I want to remind you of what we've already talked about, but come back to it. We identify the truth. We write it, we think it, and we confess it until we believe it. We identify the truth for that situation. We write it, can think it, confess it until we believe it. I confess that Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify him. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the desires, stronger in me than the desires in me. I confess that my family is closer because of my relationship with God. My body is stronger. My faith is deeper because of Christ. My mind is sharper. My faith is deeper. I am creative. I am innovative. I'm blessed to be and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We declare these truths over us. So we declare the truth. We write it. We think it. We confess it until we believe it. We have to get into these practices. You tell yourself that you're not a hostage to the unhealthy thoughts. The weapons you fight with are not the weapons of the world. You have divine power to demolish every thought that is not pleasing to God. You take everything that is not of God, every pretension, and you demolish it with the truth. Worry is not your master. I mean, these are the things that you say. Reality is we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we frame it. You don't interpret God through your circumstances. But by prayer and petition, we present everything to God. And we do it with a thanksgiving to gain the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. That peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. There will always be a battle for our minds, friends. Let Jesus win the battle for you and with you and through you. Take your thoughts captive and let Jesus replace them with the truth. Because when you know the truth will set you free. Let's pray this morning. Father, set us free. Renew our minds with your truth. How many of you would say, yes, that I have some weight that I'm carrying. I have some burdens that I'm carrying. There's something heavy on my heart this morning. There's a concern. There's a person. There's a thing. There's a relationship. There's a medical issue. There's a financial issue. There's whatever it is. There's something on my heart. I want you to go ahead and figuratively at this point, put it into your God box. Give it to God. Be wise. Do what you can do. Give God what you can't do. And no matter what, trust him for what he can do for you, because you want the peace of God this morning. Are you in that position this morning? Are you in a position in which you want the peace of God that passes all understanding? Then type the phrase peace of God in the comment section. Type it in. God, I thank you that there are people being set free by the truth this morning, by the power of your word and the glory of your presence right now. I thank you that, Father, we can come to you and be set free by your Spirit. Father, continue to move in our hearts this morning with the truth that you have brought to us. Give us the mind of your Son. Give us your heart of your will. Give us your word to direct our steps, that all we do would be pleasing to you, God. Help us to know the truth. Help us to be set free this morning. There are some of you this morning that want the peace of God. This peace comes through declaring that you are a follower of Jesus. If you have not done this, you just simply say yes to Jesus. He can and will bring the renewal to your life that you have been longing for. Your heart's just hungering for it this morning. His presence, peace, and power will be available to you through this simple declaration of his role in your life and your acknowledgement. If you are acknowledging him for the first time, just pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus, who died on the cross. Save me and forgive me from my sins because of his blood. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we are thankful for the new and renewed lives this morning. Father, may we celebrate this day knowing your grace has guided us all the way. Your power is available to us, and the peace of God is ours in Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Amen.